My name is Emma Loazzo. I'm 27 years old. Today is December 7th, and I'm speaking with Carla, who is here in the Social Impact Workshop with me. We're recording this interview in San Francisco, California. So, Carla, we are here, most of us, gathering from various schools. I'm curious to hear, did you yourself like school growing up, and why or why not?
I had a lot of school experiences. I think I generally liked school because I was always pretty good at it. But in high school, I went to a Baptist academy, and it was a very kind of religious right school in the middle of Hawaii, kind of based and steeped in colonialism. So I sort of made it my purpose to hate school. That being said, I was still like a pretty high-achieving academic student, and I ran cross-country and track, and I ran for office. So it's kind of an interesting question because I really also defied the dress code at every turn and mocked my religion classes and, you know, really spent a lot of time trying to raise a ruckus. So I have a memory of graduation graduation rehearsal, me and my best friend just mocking, thinking we were whispering and mocking every single person that came up to make a speech or anything. And then after it was over, my mom just being so angry with me, telling me, like, you know, couldn't I just shut up for once? So I would say yes and no. That's my school experience. I definitely believe in the division of church and education for myself.
Did you ever get in big trouble at school for being a rebel against the merge of church and school?
No, I didn't get expelled because basically our school had zero tolerance for anything. So you didn't have to really do much to get expelled. So, like, you smoke one joint and you're expelled. So I smoked plenty of joints, just not at school, because I watched many of my, it was a private school and I was on scholarship and my mom took education really seriously. And so despite my anger at her for putting me in that particular school, I didn't necessarily want to be kicked out because I knew the options, quite frankly, were worse if I wasn't at that school. So that's sort of a lot of compromises around my school.
Have you been a rebel ever since also?
Yeah, sort of the same way. I'm kind of like not really a rebel. I'm like a rebel within the institutions that I work in, but I don't want to like not be in them. I guess you would call that the, what is his name? They have that debate between W.E.B. Du Bois and the other guy. I'm the other guy, the pro-institution guy. Who was it?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Is there a recent rebellion that you've been a part of at one or another institution?
No, I think my most recent rebellion has been to leave the independent school world and to change my career at this age. So 49, I went back to college and got an MFA and then started working here at 826 Valencia. But so I would say that was a rebellion because I did cut my pay in half. But not the traditional kind of rebellion. I mean, I go to marches, I protest, I do those kind of things, but I don't really even call those rebellions.
I'm totally off script at this point, but I think that's okay.
Yeah.
What spurred your career shift?
Well, to be honest, heartbreak I was heartbroken. And then my daughter went to college. And what's interesting is that I had always made fun of, as you can tell, I make fun of a lot of people. I'd always made fun of empty nesters. I couldn't understand, like, what the problem was. Here I am, a single mom who commutes to school with her daughter every day, coaches track and cross country, which her daughter participates in, and thinking I'm not going to have empty nest. But it all happened at once. My heart was broken, and my daughter went to college, not too far away. And then I was like, I'm leaving this country. So I went to Africa for 3 years, and then I came back. And when I came back, I thought I didn't want to teach in this. I didn't want to grade any more papers. I had graded English papers for 23 years, and I thought, if I have to grade another paper, I don't know if I can do it. So I'm still writing, I'm still educating, but I'm not grading.
That's a good answer. Which one do I want to pick? I picked all the same questions you did. Here's one. This is related to your rebellious youth at Baptist school. What, if any, advice would you give to your teenage self?
I think I was really impatient with people. Like, I felt so strongly that people should have, like, a really high moral standard. And I tried to have one, too. It wasn't like, but I feel like when people let me down, I was pretty unforgiving. And people do let you down. I mean, it's not that I was unforgiving, and it's not like I didn't have a justified reason to be mad, like, at the things that happened. I feel like I definitely had reasons for being so unforgiving, but I think I would have told myself to give people a little bit more of a break had I had more insight. Yeah.
Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
Ooh, in my life. Okay, so we'll go back to that heartbreak / empty nest. I think what was hard at that time was that that person represented to me what I thought I was going to become in a relationship with that person. And also the job I was at that time, the school where I was at, I felt very certain about a path that I was moving in, slightly up, hopefully up. And when I was not able to receive an interview for the position that I thought I at least would receive an interview for, and when my daughter wasn't there anymore to ride to school with me, and then when that person betrayed me in a way that was hard to believe, actually what was the hardest part was the friends of that circle didn't side with me. And I never was able to understand, because that person committed the trespass. That person made the fatal error of ending the relationship by choosing someone else over me while we were together. And yet people still somehow sympathized with him. And so I felt like how am I carrying myself in this world that people don't see me? And so it was a really big turning point, which is why I left, because I felt really invisible. I couldn't understand how that relationship had turned out to a point where I became the bad guy when I thought I was the victim. And to this day, I still don't understand it, but I've come to more understanding about how it played out and maybe how I carried myself, always carrying myself like I could handle everything. So people were thinking I was strong all the time. I was strong all the time. I was strong. But they didn't really see that I wasn't. So that, I would say, that would be the point in my life where I had to really look at how I was walking in the world so that people would actually see me as who I was, as opposed to who I was portraying to be, which I think goes back to the Baptist high school. I think I had started that duality of self-portrayal a long time ago, and I had never really broken out of it. I had always had kind of two ways of existing. Yeah, hiding. I was always hiding one part of me from the world. And that really came out at that time of that not job interview and very public betrayal by someone that I thought I would be with forever. So that was like my hardest time in my life. Yeah, but Africa was helpful. Yeah.
Do you feel like you're still hiding? Like you still have those two pieces?
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever go away. I think I did it for so long, but I think I'm still working on reconciling them. So I'm a lot more forthright, but without being angry. Forthright and anger, I mix them up a lot. Yeah.
Well, that looks like about our time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for talking.
You're
and for
welcome.
Sharing.
Thanks for asking the hard question. It's like, oh no.